Natotam Ashloka Vartanam Yushatam Takatam Ritam Yatam Brahman Takaleti Maratam Tatpadam Bhujam. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topic of the personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions, even at the last moment of their lives. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The highest perfection of life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life. This perfection of life is made possible by one who has learned the actual transcendental nature of the Lord from the Vedic hymns sung by liberated souls like Sukadev Goswami or someone in that line of disciplic succession. There is no gain in hearing the Vedic hymns from some mental speculator. When the same is heard from an actual self-realized soul and is properly understood by service and submission, everything becomes transparently clear. Thus, the submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of life. By scientific adaptation, one is able to remember the Lord even at the time of death, at the end of life, when the power of remembrance is slackened due to derangement of bodily membranes. For a common man, it is very difficult to remember things as they are at the time of death, but by the grace of the Lord and His bona fide devotees, His spiritual masters, one can get this opportunity without difficulty. And it was done in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, is full of endless uncertainty. And therefore, all species of life live in great fear. Fear can only exist where there is uncertainty, where there is no knowledge. Just as darkness can only exist where there is no light, fear can only exist when we are forgetful of the truth. And that truth is that Krishna is the cause of all causes, the very source of everything that exists. When we understand this with our intelligence, and when we have faith in this most sublime of all principles, then we become fearless. Then we can remain peaceful in every situation of life. And Krishna descends to this world especially to reawaken within our hearts knowledge of his transcendental nature and faith in his mercy. Janma karma sane divyam evam yoga kitapta. Jatvadeham punara janma. Naitimam eti sorasima. One who simply understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activity never takes birth in this material world again, but attains the eternal spiritual abode. So Krishna, through so many wonderful avatars, has appeared in this world to demonstrate his transcendental appearance and activity. And by hearing these narrations, we gradually understand what is Krishna, who is God, and we develop faith. Srila Prabhupada explained very simply how faith takes place within our hearts. By hearing the teachings and the glories of the Lord in the association of sincere devotees, faith is naturally revived within our hearts. The natural atmosphere in which the soul resides is the atmosphere of faith. The spiritual world is the land of faith, and the heart of the real Vaishnavas are the abodes of faith. And all of the miserable conditions that take place within our lives are simply due to the loss of that faith. Actually, we could never really lose it. It is there, but we forget. And that forgetfulness is a temporary loss. If you have something very precious and you need it, even though it may be in your home, if you cannot find it, it is lost temporarily, but actually it is not lost because you have it. You have just forgotten where. So in the same way, we are all looking for bliss, we are all looking for peace, we are all looking for a refuge from the miseries of material existence. And that is right there within our heart as the very integral nature of the soul through faith in God. But we have forgotten. Because of our association with the three modes of material nature, because of the association of those people under the spell of Maya, Maya has covered our knowledge and faith in the transcendental glories of the Lord. And therefore we are wandering birth after birth after birth, trying to find refuge. But it is right within the faith of our own heart. Our spiritual advancement is directly progressive according to our faith. Spiritual realization means development of faith. Faith is the most powerful factor in all of existence, because it is faith alone that attracts the power and the glory of God. Just as Lord Jesus, he would often test his disciples' faith, and usually they would fail the test. But in failing, he would always give them a good lesson, because this is the way we are to learn. We fail due to our lack of faith, and in that failure, our hearts are often very receptive to improve ourselves. And then he would explain. He told them, if you have faith, if you tell the mountain to move to the ocean, the mountain will move to the ocean. Even if your faith is the size of a tiny mustard seed. So, of course, how do you make the mountain move to the ocean? Not possible. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the story of the turning of the ocean of milk, where the demigods and the demons were fighting, and the demons won. In the material world, sometimes devotees temporarily appear to be overcome by demoniac people. But ultimately, the Lord always protects his devotees. So the demigods went praying to Lord Vishnu, saying, what should we do? The demons have taken everything away from us. We have no power to serve according to our prescribed duties. So he told them that you turn the ocean of milk. That is the solution. You tell the demons that amrit, nectar, will come out of the ocean if you turn it. And even though the demons may have conquered all of your abodes and everything else, they're always wanting something else. The nature of material consciousness, as we were explaining last night, however much you get, you have to have more. The more you have, the more you need. That is the law of nature. Prahlad Maharaj explains, it is like scratching the itch. The more you scratch the itch, the result is the more it itches. But why do we scratch the itch? To make the itch go away. But the process makes it worse. That is the law of nature. The more you try to find some pacification for the agitated mind and senses through sense gratification, the more the mind and senses become agitated. So the solution to a disturbed mind and senses is not sense gratification. It inevitably will make the problem worse. But itching is a very wonderful experience to learn from. Because when you have an itch, while you're scratching it, it appears that it feels very nice. You scratch. And it's like, very nice. This is very good. But as soon as you stop scratching, it's on fire. Every scratch inflames it that much more. And you're just going mad. And little children, sometimes their parents, they literally tie their hands behind their back so they can't scratch. And the children are going, I want to scratch. Sometimes they scratch till they bleed. The children don't know what's good for them, but the parents know. Stop scratching. So that is material life. So the demons, although they conquered everything, if you promise them nectar, they'll do anything for that nectar, because they don't have that. How to get the nectar? You have to take Mount Mandara. Huh? Mount Mandara is a huge mountain. Hundreds and thousands of miles big. It's a heavenly mountain. And it's made out of gold. Huge mountain. And you have to take that Mount Mandara and you have to take it from the mountain range and bring it to the ocean. And then with the serpent named Vasuki, you use that as a rope. The mountain will serve as a turning rod, and you demons on one side, demigods on another, and you churn, and the nectar will come. So here all the most powerful devatas, Indra, Vayu, Varuna, Agni, Surya, you know how powerful they are. And all these great, great demons headed by Bali Maharaj, they all went to lift the mountain. But that mountain was so heavy and so big that they were lifting. And they just barely tried to get it off, and it would start crushing their fingers. They couldn't get it off the ground. They were struggling, straining. They were practically on the verge of death, all of them. Just endeavoring with all of their strength to lift this mountain. Ultimately, what could they do? The demigods had faith. They prayed to Vishnu. Vishnu, you have asked us to do this. If you want, you can move this mountain, but we cannot move this mountain. And then the Lord appeared and lifted the mountain effortlessly and put it in the ocean. So when Jesus said, if you have enough faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to move in the ocean, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this was practically demonstrated. Because of the little bit of faith that the demigods had, this mountain, the biggest of all mountains, was moved into the ocean. So we must understand that the very essence of our spiritual life is associating with devotees and hearing the transcendental nature and instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that is the only process by which real, genuine faith can be awakened within our heart. And we must very carefully guard against associating with people who do not have faith. Because in the neophyte condition, we are vulnerable to whatever we associate with. Srila Prabhupada was so powerful as a Paramhamsa, he could go alone to the land of the faithless and give everyone faith. But if we do not have that realization, then if we associate with the faithless, we become faithless. And if we associate with faithful, we become faithful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if you want to be Vaishnava, you associate with Vaishnavas. And you avoid the association of people who are not having that faith, and people who are too much attached to material sense gratification. So here we find that at the time of death, if you have developed that faith in the Lord, if you have properly utilize your life in hearing and chanting His glory, then Krishna is pleased with you. And that's all that matters. Sam Sudhir Hari Tol Shanam. If Krishna is pleased, we have nothing to fear. If Krishna is not pleased, we have everything to fear. So our concern is not by the material arrangements we make. Our only concern is Krishna pleased? And how do we know if Krishna is pleased? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutoki. If Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. If Krishna's dear representatives are pleased, then he is pleased. It's not difficult to understand. See, the Prabhupada, even he tested so many times. Sometimes he would say that the moon is more far distant than the sun. And devotees, especially American devotees, they are coming from the culture that was so proud that we were the first nation in the history of the world to go to the moon. That was the supreme national pride, that the American flag was stuck in the surface of the moon. And in all the newspapers and in all the magazines and televisions and radios and stadiums and streets, there were celebrations and processions and parades to celebrate the ultimate national pride that the American flag is the only flag on the moon. Plus, we all trained up in materialistic culture of education, where they're telling us a certain conception of what is reality. And there, here's Srila Prabhupada, sitting on his little mat, telling us that the moon is farther away than the sun. And some devotees say, yes, if Prabhupada says, then it's true. And others, they said, I cannot believe this. And they left. They left the Krishna consciousness movement. What they did, Srila Prabhupada told us that whether the moon is closer or whether the sun is closer really isn't important. What's important is that you have faith in the word of Krishna and Guru. Because if the sun is closer or the moon is closer, it's not going to help you solve the problem of birth, old age, disease, and death. And all of these material scientists who are giving you so many theories, they are all subject to birth and death. And they cannot deliver you from birth and death. So the real principle is faith. No material arrangement can save us from misery and the transmigration of the soul to the various species of life. But faith in Krishna, pleasing Krishna, can save us. So therefore, that is our only exclusive concern in life, pleasing Krishna. If we know that Krishna is pleased, we have nothing to fear. How is this? It is explained in this beautiful sloka that at the time of death, you become helpless. Your body is going through so much disintegration. All of the cells and everything in the body are just revolting against one another. It's like a massive war taking place. And your mind just becomes very, very weak, bewildered and confused in this situation. So how to remember God at the time of death? How to ensure that we will remember God at the time of death? There is no insurance. By your capacity, you don't know how you will die. You may be in an airplane 1 second, and the next minute, how long does it take to die when you're 30,000 feet above sea level? If one thing goes wrong, within a second it's on fire and you're dead. It's not that they're going to put a light on that says, remember Krishna because we're going to crash. Nothing like that. All of a sudden, finish. It's an expected moment. You're driving in a car. If some truck driver runs into you, it's not that he honks his horn and says, remember Krishna, I'm crashing. No, he just finished. Sometimes death comes with absolutely no warning. It is a common thing. So what is the insurance that we will remember Krishna at the time of death? Krishna gives us insurance. He reveals himself to us at the time of death. If we faithfully try to please him by hearing and chanting his glories during our life. If we are pleasing Krishna, it is guaranteed by the Lord himself that whatever our situation is at the time of death, however we may die, doesn't matter whether it's a ghastly death or a peaceful death, whether it's death in the warfare or death in the bank of the Jamuna in Vrindavan, Krishna promised, I will reveal myself to you at your last thought at the time of death and take you back home, back to Godhead, if I am pleased with you. And how to please Krishna? By being Krishna conscious. By developing that faith through associating with devotees and continually hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy name. The story of Maharaj Parikshit is very wonderful because as Krishna appears in this world to reveal his transcendental nature, he also utilizes his associates, his pure and surrendered devotees, to help transmit the same message to this world. And sometimes the Lord puts his devotees in situations and states of consciousness just to create an atmosphere for the benefit of others. Krishna says in Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Matasmitir Jnanam Apohanam Sa, that he is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness because he is within the heart as the Paramatma. You have no power to remember Krishna without the grace of Krishna. You have no power to forget Krishna without the grace of Krishna. And according to your the quality of your desire, Krishna will give you remembrance or forgetfulness. But sometimes Krishna even makes his devotee temporarily forget. By his own personal arrangement, just to set the stage for something wonderful to occur. So Maharaj Parikshit was a completely self-controlled person, a liberated soul. From his very residence in the womb of Uttara, his mother, he was Krishna conscious. And when he came out of the womb, he was just looking for Krishna everywhere. I saw that beautiful form who saved my life, and nothing in this world attracts me, only that form. Param Drishva Nivarsita. Just like Srila Rupa Goswami has said, if you want to maintain your attachment to your wealth, your home, your loved ones and family and friends, take my warning. Do not go to Keshigat on the bank of Jamuna, because Shyam Sundar is standing there in his threefold bending storm with a beautiful complexion like a monsoon cloud, his lotus eyes, playing on his flute. He said, if you see that form, you cannot maintain any attachment to the temporary objects of death in this world. When you see life, you can no longer be attracted to death. Krishna is life, and dead and material matter is death. So Maharaj Parikshit saw Krishna. Therefore, even though he was living in a palace and he had so many wonderful things, none of it attracted him. He was always just looking for Krishna, the Lord of his heart. So how is it when he was in the forest going for... He became so thirsty, overcome by thirst. And when he went to Samik Rishi's ashram, Samik Rishi was sitting in his samadhi, meditating on the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Parikshit said, O Rishi, please give me water. The Rishi did not hear him. He was oblivious. to this external world. So how is it that Maharaj Parikshit did not respect and honor the transcendental consciousness of this great sage? And how is it that he lifted a dead snake, which is highly contaminated, with his bow and placed it as a garland around this region? He committed a terrible aparadha due to uncontrolled mind and senses. But we understand that Krishna personally put him in that bewildered state just so that he would be cursed to die. And in that process, he would reveal to the world the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. And through his great, great devotion, he would reveal Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important of all scriptures to the world, through Sukadeva Goswami. So it was Krishna's plan. There is a beautiful story in this regard in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. You know the story of Maharaj Prataparudra. He was a very, very great king. We were speaking about him the other morning at the Ratha Yatra celebration. And Maharaj Parikshit, when he heard from his Guru Maharaj, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that Lord Jagannath, his worshipable object, who had given his life and soul to serving, had appeared incarnated in a human-like form as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the highest message of the Harinam Sankirtan movement, he had complete faith. He would give anything for the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He begged Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please arrange an interview with me and the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, this will be very difficult. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, will you meet the king? He's a very great devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you are asking me to drink poison willingly. If you ask me again, I will leave this place. So Sarvabhauma became very afraid. Other devotees went and appealed to the Lord, will you meet the king? And so many arrangements, it's a long and beautiful story described. So many arrangements were being made. First by Nityananda Prabhu's grace, they decided to take a piece of Lord Chaitanya's outward cloth, tadiya. The paraphernalia of the Lord is non-different than the Lord, and that would temporarily pacify King Prataparudra. So they got an outer garment from Govinda and brought it to the king, and he worshipped it. And he was actually experienced the direct presence of the Lord through this piece of cloth that he wore. Another time, Ramananda Raya appealed to the Lord, and the Lord said, bring the king's son. So they brought the son of the king, and the son happened to have a beautiful bluish complexion and lotus eyes. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he remembered Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya, anyone who reminded him of Krishna was his best friend. This is best friend. A real friend reminds us of Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he became so grateful. He began to embrace the child and embrace him and embrace him. And as he was embracing him, he just filled the child's heart with love of God. The child began to cry and tremble and perspire with ecstatic love. Because you are reminding me of Krishna, you are most dear to me. And then the child was brought home, and King Prataparudra embraced his child. And because the child was just embraced by Lord Chaitanya, when he embraced the child, he got the same experience as embracing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the king was very happy. So in this way, so many arrangements were being made. Because the king, he actually declared with all honesty, if I do not receive the darshan of Mahaprabhu, I will give up my kingdom and I will give up my life. If being a king means being deprived of the mercy of the Lord, then I will reject this kingdom and be a beggar.
or I will give up my life. That was his determination. That was his faith.
So the devotees were making so many arrangements to try to pacify the king's burning desire, eagerness. On one occasion, they told Maharaj Pratapuru, it's very difficult for you to see the Lord. And he said, is there some way, any way, even if I can do it secretly? They said, huh. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he dances in kirtan, he leaves his external consciousness. At that time, you can come and see him dance. So he said, this is very good. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love. And the king, Prataparudra, was informed. So he went to that place, and he secretly hid himself. And he was watching Lord Gaurasundara in his beautiful dance of love. Prem Sankirtan. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, tears were flowing from his eyes. Perspiration was exploding from his body. His hairs were standing on end. His body was changing colors. His limbs were trembling. He was dancing so beautifully. Sometimes he would fall to the ground so hard that the entire earth shook. Sometimes in his ecstasy he would roar so loud that King Prataparudra had to hold his ears. And his arms were raised like two transcendentally beautiful pillars as he chanted the holy name. So King Prataparudra was so happy, he was so grateful for receiving this beautiful, beautiful darshan, that in great happiness he went home to his palace. But when he was home, a doubt came into his mind. He was thinking, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, tears were flowing from his eyes, but also saliva was flowing continuously from his mouth. And every limb of his body, as he was dancing, was covered by dust mixed with saliva. And as you know, from the social point of view, saliva is contaminated. If you touch your mouth, you're supposed to wash your hands. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much saliva was pouring out of his mouth that every limb was covered with a thick layer of saliva as he was dancing. So Maharaj Prataparudra was having some doubt why the Lord was dancing like this. So then he went to sleep. And as he went to sleep, the message occurred that the Supreme Lord Jagannath has appeared in this world to chant his own holy name in the beautiful Sankirtan. Then, within his dream, King Prataparudra saw the beautiful form of his worshipable deity, Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was standing before him in his most beautiful, majestic form on his throne. And that form of Jagannath, like the river Ganges, tears were just pouring from his eyes. But something else King Prataparudra saw, that Lord Jagannath, from his nose and from his mouth, constant streams of mucus and saliva were flowing. Again and again and again and again and again and again, saliva was flowing from the mouth and the nostrils of Lord Jagannath. In fact, every limb of Jagannath's body, every part of his body, was covered with dust and saliva as it was just foaming from his mouth. And Maharaj Prataparudra was looking at this, and he was very much amazed. He said, "What kind of pastime is this? Why is Lord Jagannath performing this pastime? I have no power to understand." And then he went to touch the lotus feet of Jagannath. And Jagannath looked at him and said, "You should not touch my feet. Why do you want to touch my feet? When you offer nice sandalwood and musk and camphor and decorate my feet with that, then it's very nice for you to touch. But now my feet are covered with all saliva and everything. So you should not touch my feet now. When I was dancing today and my limbs were covered with all of this saliva, and now I am also covered with this saliva, it is not clean. You are a king. You are the son of the king. It is not appropriate for you to touch." And then Lord Jagannath began to smile. And Maharaj Prataparudra was struck with wonder. And as he was looking at Jagannath, his form transformed into the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gaurasunda was sitting on the throne of Jagannath, and every one of his limbs was covered with dust and saliva. You know what saliva is? What is Hindi word? Huh? So everyone knows what I'm talking about. So every one of his limbs, and he was sitting on the throne of Jagannath. And then King Prataparudra, he just prayed to the Lord that you have appeared in such a wonderful way within my heart. Why should you not touch me, and why should I not touch you? And then King Prataparudra awoke from his dream. And when he awoke, he felt very offensive that he even had the slightest doubt in his mind about Lord Chaitanya's dancing. He began to pray, "I am the worst offender. I am so sinful. Please forgive me, my Lord. Now I know without question of doubt that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Jagannath himself who has descended into this world." Even Brahma and Shiva cannot understand the transcendental nature in full of the Lord's descent. But by the Lord's mercy, I have come to this understanding. So he was praying, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me and grant me the boon that I may always be your servant, the servant of your servant." So Maharaj Prataparudra was temporarily put in a situation of slight doubt, just to see this wonderful, wonderful pastime of Lord Jagannath. And by hearing these wonderful pastimes, we become completely purified. By hearing how the Lord deals with his transcendental devotees, it is not just an intellectual process. Just like when you go to a mundane college, when you learn something in order to pass the exams,
It's a matter of going through a whole intellectual process of memorization and studies and everything else. But by hearing the wonderful stories of Maharaj Parikshit or Maharaj Prataparudra, today we are talking about these two great kings, two very powerful, wealthy kings who were both temporarily put in a certain amount of illusion by the grace of the Lord to awaken deeper understandings of God in all of us. When we hear these beautiful narrations of the Lord's pastimes and those of his devotees, submissively, with a service attitude, from the right source. And who is the right source? One who has heard from his guru submissively and who has a service attitude toward his guru. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam. At a certain stage of his life, he heard from his guru, Vedavyas, submissively, in the mood of a humble servant. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he explained, I am qualified to speak only because I have submissively heard from my Guru Maharaj, and I am speaking as his servant. So we should only hear transcendental subject matter from those who have heard submissively within a proper disciplic succession and who have a proper mood of service to the Lord, to Guru, and to the devotees. Because only that subject matter coming from such sources will Krishna within our hearts. You can study the scriptures for your whole life through and memorize so much, so many slokas and so many stories and so much everything. But that will not help you at the time of death. It is only if you please Krishna. If you hear submissively, Padvati Pranipatina Pari Prasnana Sadhya. If you surrender yourself, listen submissively, and are willing to serve, that type of hearing actually awakens the grace of Krishna within us. Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Pundi Sravana Kirtana Hridyanta Soja Bhadana Vidinopi Sirishita. And it is by that grace that Krishna reveals himself within us. So let us be very anxious, very eager to find our pleasure in life, not in watching the television or reading the magazines or going to cricket matches. Let us find our pleasure in life in hearing the glories of the Lord. And if we are eager to make this our goal, then Krishna will be pleased. And from within the heart, he will cleanse all of the anarthas. He will establish faith and he will reveal himself. That is the goal of life. Thank you very much. Is there any question?
Prabhupada used to give so much emphasis on hearing. And till this date, I'm not able to understand one thing, is that when so much emphasis has been given to hearing, then why is it so that when we take initiation, at that time, we have been told that we just have to chant and we have to follow these four regulatory principles. Why we are not taking a vow of hearing also? Because only if we do hearing, then all these four regulatory principles as well as chanting can be perfect, otherwise it cannot be perfect. So why is it so that we are not taking a vow of hearing when we are taking initiation?
But you are. Hare Krishna. Because you're taking a vow to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And it is the instruction of every spiritual master that you must hear the glories of the Lord. The four regulative principles in chanting 16 rounds is a very strong basis but actually, unless we are hearing sufficiently, we cannot do these things. We cannot properly follow the regulative principles in a spirit of devotion, and we cannot, without hearing, we cannot stand. Nastaprayesha vadresha nityam bhagavati sevaya. Srila Prabhupada's instructions are Krishna's instructions, that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily. At one time in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave a class where he was describing the meaning of tapasya. He said, the meaning of tapasya is to read my book 3 to 4 hours every day. Something like that. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read. Srila Prabhupada made it a mandatory necessity for every devotee within the temple to attend Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, and to attend Bhagavad Gita class in the evening unless one was doing some other service, preaching. So this is his instruction, to read his books, to attend the classes, to always be speaking about Krishna. And actually, understand this, when you're chanting the Maha Mantra 16 rounds, what are you doing? You're hearing. They're inseparable. When you take a vow to chant 16 rounds, you take a vow to hear 16 rounds. But actually, you do take a vow to hear every day. One of the offenses to the holy name is to not be attentive. Correct? It is our duty to chant the holy name attentively. What does it mean to be attentive? To hear. To hear each syllable. Krishna is within his name. All the philosophy of Bhagavatam is within the name of Krishna. The whole Gita, everything is within the name of Krishna. So when we make this vow to chant 16 rounds, we are making the vow to hear 16 rounds every day. So we do make this vow. Any other questions?
Yes. So, then that the success of spiritual life depends on pleasing the spiritual master.
Mm.
So how can you understand that the spiritual master is pleased with us?
If you're following his instruction, he is pleased. If you're not following his instruction, he will not be very pleased. Quite simple. The spiritual master has given general instructions to everyone, and he may sometimes give specific instructions to you. The general instructions, which are specific to you also, to everyone, to chant 16 rounds every day, to follow the four regulative principles, to try to be humble, to always be engaged in devotional service, to assist with the great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every one of us, even those devotees who never physically met Prabhupada or spoke a word to him, they had 40 volumes of books of instruction that were directly spoken to them. So no one could say that Prabhupada never gave me instructions. So many instructions. And to the degree you're trying to serve those instructions, to that degree Krishna within your heart will see you're trying to please your guru. And he will give you all mercy, special mercy for that. And sometimes we're given a specific instruction. We should make the instructions of Guru our life and soul. To the degree we do that, it's to that degree we please. We please Guru and we please Krishna. It's not difficult. And if something arises where we are in some confused state, then we just ask. Either we ask Guru directly, or we ask someone who is a representative of our Guru, servant of the servant. Should I do this or should I do this? What pleases? It's quite easy. If we don't want to ask, that means we don't want to know.
And sometimes they give clear answer, no, do not do this, do that. And sometimes they say, you can do either one. You can do anything you like in this regard, it's all right. What does that mean? That means we can do either one, but we should do it in a mood of service. So we should never be bewildered whether we are pleasing Krishna or not. Quite simple. If you are cheating, if you are lying, if you are criticizing devotees, you know you're not pleasing your guru and Krishna. You're honoring Vaishnavas, nice sadhana, trying to humbly serve, you know you're pleasing your guru. Any other questions? Yes.
Tell us, why Lord Chaitanya dancing like that? He was dancing like that.
Why he was dancing with his body covered with saliva and dust?
Yeah.
You're asking me why? Because he likes to be like this. His saliva is nectar. When he was foaming at the mouth in his ecstasy, Shubhananda understood the nectar of that, and he caught it and drank it. He will experience ecstatic love by doing so. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely transcendental form of God. Everything about him is transcendental love of God. His saliva is amrit, it is not like ours. Ours is repulsive, contaminated, filthy, but his is spiritual nectar. It's the personification and manifestation of his Radha Bhava, of the highest ecstasy of love in such an extraordinary form. And we must have this faith. Another question? Yes?
You said in the lecture that we should hear the glories of Lord in the association of devotees, and that we can make spiritual advancement. But by some arrangement, if someone is away from association of devotees, he has to depend on the association of devotees or a spiritual master through Vani. How it works, Mara? Can you please elaborate on the association in the form of Vani?
If we are away by our own independent desire, then we will have difficult times because we will not really be under the protection of the blessings of the Lord. But if we are away under the instruction or with the blessing of the Lord and his representatives, and we are sincere to not exploit the opportunity to do all nonsense because we don't have much association, but we sincerely endeavor and try to remain pure and associate with Vani through the book, serving the instruction, the smaranam, remembrance, then Krishna will definitely protect us, such a devotee. We will have complete association, full association, in the mood of separation. If we are doing it sincerely, under the order and with the blessings of the higher power. Kalavati, Devi,
Maharaj, we are told not to give any importance to our dream. So when to understand whether a dream is truly spiritual or it is filled of our mind, creation of our mind?
Advanced devotees like Maharaj Pratap Rudra,
Madhavendra Puri. They do not dream like us. Our dreams are just all sorts of fascinating thoughts within our deep subconscious, subtle body, just coming to the surface and getting all mixed up with each other, and they create all dreams. So we don't take it very seriously. There are some classes of man, especially in the West now, where their whole religion is interpretation of dreams. So what is it? It's just interpretation of all the grotesque substance of your subtle body. Some of it's nice, some of it's not nice. We want to go beyond all this maya and go right to the soul by keeping our mind attached to Krishna's holy name. But if there is a dream that reveals Krishna or something that is very Krishna conscious, and that dream is confirmed by what Guru, Sadhu and Shastra has told us, then we can take that dream to be the direction of the Lord from within our heart. So we have to confirm it with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But such a liberated soul as Maharaj Prataparudra, it wasn't really a dream as we know it. It was actually Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya from within the heart simply appearing to him. It wasn't just the thoughts of previous lives surfacing from the mind. It was directly Jagannath and Mahaprabhu appearing to him. So within the scriptures, we only read about dreams like this. We read about the dreams where liberated souls in pure devotional service, where the Lord personally and directly appears to them to give them instruction. Those are the types of dreams we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Ratnakara, Srimad Bhagavat. We don't read about the dreams of the conditioned souls, because they have no value. Any other questions?
Would you emphasize the importance of developing faith and association with devotees, and how that faith grows nicely in that association? But also we hear the story about how Kala Krishna Das, in association with Lord Chaitanya, he had the best association, yet he fell down from that association. So can you describe what is the quality of...
Srila Prabhupada explained. He had the best association, but he misused his independence to seek out bad association. And due to the contamination of that bad association, he was actually willing to leave the association of the Lord. This is how powerful association is. Everyone within the Krishna consciousness movement has the best association. But if simultaneously you associate with people who are contaminated, then that association can actually pollute your mind to such an extent that it will take you away from the association of devotees. Kala Krishna Das is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, watching him convert the whole of South India into love of God. But then he began to associate with the Bhattaharis, who were pseudo-religionists. They were dressed up as sannyasis. They were posing themselves as being very spiritually advanced, very highly renowned, but actually they had deceitful, sinful motives. So just by associating with them, he became so polluted that he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to join them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful that he went to the Bataharis. He said, "You are all sannyasi. I am also sannyasi. You know that I require a servant. Why you have taken my servant?" So they wanted to kill him. So they picked up axes and swords and clubs and went to kill Lord Chaitanya. And they started running at him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme orchestrator of material nature. So the swords and the knives and the clubs just came out of the hands of the Bataharis and started chopping off the limbs and stabbing the Bataharis. And they were running away, and the weapons were chasing after them and beating them and stabbing them and cutting them, and they were running and screaming. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed Kala Krishnadas by the hair and brought him back. Brought him back to his senses. Then he was very repentant. He realized he had made a big mistake by associating with these people. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is the power of materialistic association. Even if you are directly the associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you associate with people who are too much materialistic, your mind can be bewildered. What to speak of us, Prabhupada says. So how careful we should be. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.